Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Supporters of Francis and Juana will rally today outside the Detroit offices of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And Juana is a 48-year-old man who came to Michigan from Nigeria in 1983 to go to school. He's deaf. He can't speak. He has cognitive disabilities. And ICE says he's here illegally and he must leave. Francis has a meeting with ICE tomorrow. Let's learn more about Francis and Juana and the efforts to stop his deportation. Tanya Morris-Diaz is here with us, an attorney with the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center. And also with us, Diane Newman, a friend and advocate of Francis. Diane, you taught young Francis at the Lutheran School for the Deaf when he first arrived?
Yes, he came in 1983, and I was his first teacher. Francis came to the school with his father that first day. The original plan was for 2 years. They were hoping that he would learn to lip read and speak, but obviously children born profoundly deaf typically show delayed development of literacy and have difficulty acquiring those kinds of spoken language and lip reading skills. Mm. So when Francis came, he acquired sign language very quickly. It offered him a form of expression and communication that he never had with his family back in Nigeria. It opened up a whole new world for him, socially, emotionally, and academically. He was able to make friends with other deaf people and express himself to them and socialize and goof around like any other teenage boy. He was very, very happy at Lutheran School for the Deaf. Many of the students lived right in the school in a residential setting. And most of them on holidays or sometimes long weekends would go home. So staff, myself included, volunteered to take Francis home so he had somewhere to go for the holidays during the school year while he was still there.
And is that why you've developed this
yes.
You know, you're a friend, you're an advocate. He clearly became important to you.
Yes, he, like I said, I remember the first Christmas he came home with us. Within a couple of days, it was kind of sad. And what I figured out was, okay, this is 3 months, 4 months into his schooling, so he was just learning the concept of a calendar, but he loved, you know, the residential school, so I had to explain to him, oh, we're just home for 2 weeks. He'd never experienced a Christmas holiday. I said, we're home for 2 weeks, and you're going to stay with me, and then on this date, you know, January, we're going to go back to school like we were. Mm. And then he was fine. So there were so many firsts that first year. But yes, he and I, as well as my family, developed a close relationship, and we did take him home, you know, as other students that were from out of state, I would take home and we'd go to movies or whatever, just so they had something to do like the other students were doing.
And Tanya, ICE says Francis violated the terms of his admission by staying here after leaving school. So how and why did he slip through the cracks?
Right. So in terms of violating his immigration status, that's basically saying that he overstayed mm-hmm. his student visa. In terms of
which is true.
Right. That is true. Really, because of Francis's condition, like I said, he didn't understand the concept of an immigration status or the concept of renewing a student visa or the concept of even overstaying a student visa. And so it fell on him to basically be in charge of his own legal immigration matters.
Now, he came with his father. Was his father then out of the picture?
Well, his father came basically to drop him off, mm. to see him off, but his family never relocated here. He was really here on his own.
His parents did keep in touch with him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did, as yeah. much as they could. But in terms of slipping through the cracks, really just, as one can imagine, someone like Francis, it's just understandable that this was something that he didn't understand that he needed to do. This wasn't something that, even if he did understand, he didn't know what he should have done. And so through the help of caregivers and advocates, when they realized that something needed to be done, they did what they could. But because of our immigration system, there were no options for him.
Dan, where does he live now? What does Francis do? And has he ever gotten into legal trouble, any criminal record?
Currently, he's living in Detroit. He moved around after he went to Lutheran School for the Deaf. He went to Michigan School for the Deaf, and then he moved around to various group homes in the Detroit area, and then they moved him to Holly, Michigan. Then he went to Flint, and then recently now he's been relocated to a group home in Detroit. No, he does not have any skirmishes with the law or criminal records at all.
And so here he has been here some 3 dozen years, the better part of 3 dozen years. When and how did ICE get to him to say, you've got to leave?
So this all began, I believe, back in 2006, when some of his advocates and caregivers attempted to apply for his citizenship. Because he didn't have legal permanent residency, a green card, most commonly known, there was no path to citizenship for him. And so by applying for citizenship with USCIS, USCIS referred that information over to ICE, which began the deportation proceedings of Francis.
So I guess I've got to wonder, and perhaps, Diane, you have the best sense of this, who would be there in Nigeria? What would happen to Francis if he were to be deported to Nigeria?
His mother is still there. There have been some communications through the years with her. He does have a brother in New York, a stepbrother that he never knew. When this happened, I reached out to that brother, and the latest on the mom, she is ill and lives in a fairly remote village in Nigeria, and the brother was adamant, knowing the area, that Francis would not survive if he goes back there. And when Francis came here, I think he, again, as I explained earlier, just flourished, and this became his home. As far as going back, I don't know that anyone would be there for him. I do know that he would not be able to function on his own. He would not be able to communicate his needs because no one there would be able to communicate with him. And I think it would be his demise. I don't think he would survive. He will say, when you ask him, do you remember Nigeria? I think he's just wiped that all out. He will say no. He said, I want to stay here. I want to stay in America. I don't want to go back to Nigeria.
Right. I wanted to add that when Francis is asked about Nigeria, his memories of Nigeria, or anything about Nigeria, he says he simply doesn't remember. So to him, Nigeria, even though he was born there, Nigeria is a foreign country to him.
Right.
And Congressman
Absolutely.
Dan Kildee has gotten involved with this. What do you want to tell us about that?
Right. So Dan Kildee has introduced a private bill to allow Francis to become a legal permanent resident and therefore providing him pathway to citizenship.
What's the timetable? Because there's this meeting with ICE tomorrow
right.
morning.
Mm-hmm.
What's the timetable, your best guess, on this bill?
On this bill? Well, because it's a private immigration bill, really, that is a matter separate from what's happening with ICE. Usually ICE should respect the fact and give time to allow breathing room for this bill to pass.
You say usually.
Well, we're living in an era where usuallys just don't seem to matter. We're operating under a completely different framework with this administration. So it's really hard to guess how ICE will react to that. In the past, usually ICE has respected private immigration bills and given time for it to pass. But that's not to say that there aren't other avenues that we're seeking to help Francis. That's just one. Over at Merck, we're looking at every sort of possible way that we can help Francis. This bill is just one of them, but it's certainly not the only one.
What are some of the other options?
I don't want to get too much into the details, but ICE is basically saying that they're allowing him time to leave voluntarily. We really just need to communicate with ICE how returning to Nigeria really would be detrimental to Francis. So we're communicating with ICE. We're doing everything we can in our legal toolbox to assure that Francis can stay here. So speaking with ICE, speaking with the government, and also this private bill.
Tanya Morris-Diaz, an attorney with the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center, and Diane Newman, a longtime friend and advocate for Francis and Juana. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We turn now to Flint's Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee. He has introduced a bill to give Francis and Juana a green card to protect him from deportation. We caught up with him during a campaign event in Ann Arbor to learn more.
These private bills, private immigration bills, are pretty rare, and I have not had a situation yet that I thought warranted it. But Francis, his situation is clearly one that just begs for a solution. There would be no justice, there would be no good achieved by deporting him to a country that he doesn't know, that he doesn't understand, where he doesn't know anybody, and where he couldn't communicate. And so I filed a bill that would grant him permanent resident status. They're hard to pass. It will take a big lift. It's going to take a lot of voices to get other members of Congress to be willing to go along with this, particularly in the Republican majority. Mm-hmm. But I saw no alternative.
and I know he has a meeting Friday morning with ICE. How does that sync up with the progress of your bill?
Well, the hope is that ICE will recognize that this bill is being considered, and that even if their own sense of justice doesn't motivate them to stop any deportation proceeding, that maybe the expectation that this bill may succeed would keep them from moving forward. So we're hoping that it buys us some time to give us a chance to move this legislation forward.
We reached out to ICE's Detroit office for a comment on the Anwana case, and they sent us the following statement, and I quote, "Anwana, a citizen of Nigeria illegally residing in the U.S., was admitted to the United States in 1987 as an F-1 non-immigrant student, but violated the terms of his admission by remaining in the U.S. when he was no longer enrolled in school, which made him subject to removal. In an exercise of discretion, ICE is allowing Mr. Anwana to make arrangements to depart the U.S. voluntarily."